Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
All right, your Ben Jarofsky Show. Oh, what a week it was. Sully, California, and the Gardner Apology Tour is brought to you by the Chicago Federation of Labor, SEIU Healthcare, Illinois, Indiana, the Chicago Teachers Union, and Chicago Reader. ChicagoReader.com for all things there is to know the city of Chicago. Where to go, what to do, what to eat, what to drink, what kind of pot to smoke, and so much more, including columns from our very own Ben Jarofsky. Ben, I'm going to be asking you about your latest Chicago Reader column a little later on, but go check it out, ChicagoReader.com. And if you want to help out this program, you can. ChicagoReader.com/Jarofsky. That's J-O-R-A-V as in victory, S-K-Y, and you can become a Benhead. Frank, you'll be very proud of me. I remember to do the song of the week before the show starts. So here we go. Ben, your song of the week from Frank comes from Donna Summer, Bad Girls.
Bad girls. Talking about your bad girls. Beep, beep. Uh-huh. Beep, beep. I did the beep, beep part.
That was pretty good. That was very good, actually. Can we hear one more time?
Okay. Bad girls. I got to get to the beep, beep.
Oh,
beep,
yeah,
beep.
Yeah.
Beep, beep. I'll just do the beep, beeps and you sing. Ready? Beep, beep. Go.
Bad girls.
Oh, my. Did Donna Summer just reappear in the studio?
Your Ben Jarofsky Show starts now. It is Friday, September 17th, and live from my apartment and his attic, this is the Ben Jarofsky Show's Oh What a Week, Sully, California, and the Gardner Apology Tour. Now your host, he'll be having his own apology tour for that song he just sang. Chicago Reader columnist, bad boy, Ben Jarofsky.
Hello, everybody. Ben Jarofsky here. We're calling this Atonement Day Friday, and here's why. My God, there's some huge like explosion sounds coming up from outside my house, D. I don't know what that is, but let's just pretend it doesn't exist.
Well, I've learned in the city of Chicago, the 4th of July, it never ends, really. After the 4th of July, it just goes on until the next 4th of July.
Yeah. It could have been firecrackers. I don't know what it was. It could have been the construction project going on, ongoing construction project out the side of my home. Anyway, that happened as I came on. And before I turn things over to Dennis, I just want to say we took the day off yesterday because it was Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the Jewish calendar. As you guys know, I talk about this a lot. I'm not observant in it anyway. I've got my issues with all religions. So I'm not a practitioner of any faith, but I was born Jewish and proud Jew in this country. So I said, you know, D, I think I'll just take the day off. And the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is the day you're supposed to reflect on all your sins and the things you do wrong, the things you should do better. So I think I'll just take the day off. I'm not going to go to services or anything. So I went for a long walk, D. And I was thinking about all the stuff I do wrong and how I want to do better this year. And one thing led to another. I wound up at the local library and I went up to the nonfiction section and I got down. I can't believe I did this in my day when I was supposed to be reflecting. I got down Jeffrey Toobin's book, Vast Conspiracy, about the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky scandal and the impeachment. I'm obsessively following Ryan Murphy's show, dramatic reenactment of that, which I think is really excellent. I urge everybody to watch it. And so there I was, D. I was supposed to be like separated from what I usually do and deep in reflection. And what am I doing? I'm reading about Clinton and Lewinsky.
You can't help yourself.
I cannot help myself. By the way, it's a perv writing about a perv. Just pointing that out, Jeffrey Toobin.
Okay, yeah. Toobin hand. Jeffrey Toobin hand.
Yes, Toobin.
Let's hear your Bill Clinton impression, by the way.
What's that?
Let's hear your Bill Clinton impression, by the way.
I did not have sex with that woman. Dr. D is a great guy. I knew him down in Alton. We had a hot dog together, but I did not inhale that mustard. Bill Clinton, you're the biggest fraud and phony in the world. Ben, you know, Bennett. Oh, my God, dude. Now that they are definitely moving something. It's heavy machinery coming in, moving something.
Excellent. I'm like,
the house is shaking. Oh, the house is shaking.
I guess they're not fan. Maybe they're listening to the show as they do whatever they're doing, and they realize that they're kind of being a nuisance. Hopefully that'll happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe they are listening to the show, in which case, hello, fellas. Hello, guys. How you doing? Anyway, Jeffrey Toobin's book, he may be a perv, but at least he lays out pretty much, you know, just all the details. And I'm going to have to do a deep dive on this one, D. I find it absolutely fascinating. It's so many levels. I could talk about it forever. But you know what? It's Oh What a Week, so it's not a time to talk about some events that took place in 1996, 1997, and 1998. It's a time to talk about what is taking place right now. Without further ado, I turn things over to the man, the myth, the legend, the pride of joy of Alton and Lori, without whom the show would be possible. And as Jeffrey Toobin will tell you, back home in Alton, they call him Dr. D. Take it away, young man.
Hey, what's going on? I'm Dennis. Let's find out what happened in Chicago and or Illinois this week. We begin in Illinois, and we begin with the man who loves the state of Illinois more than anyone in the world, Governor J.B. Pritzker.
Don't believe me? Well, consider these facts. The first cell phone was invented here. So was the first television remote control.
Okay, we believe you, sir. We believe you.
Why don't I? Nah. First cell phone developed in Illinois. I don't know. You believe that, D?
I mean, are you calling our governor a liar right now?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he was given wrong information. You know, it could be possible that they gave him the wrong information.
You heard it here first on the Ben Jarofsky Show. J.B. Pritzker is a liar.
I did not say that. No further questions. The witness may step down. But, Your Honor.
The governor was hustling this week. On Monday, he announced his new child care initiative.
With this new program, Illinois is allowing more people to look for jobs and return to work without having to worry about where their kids will go during the day. That's good for people. That's good for businesses.
But JB, what kind of industry is this?
It's an industry where staff, most of whom are women, have historically been underpaid. So in the coming months, Illinois will also be sending a bonus of up to $1,000 to everyone who works in a child care center or child care home in Illinois.
Bonus, yes. But by the way, may I take that opportunity to go on a tangent?
About our bonus interviews this weekend?
Yes.
For sure. Tell us what you can expect at chicagoreader.com/Jarofsky or wherever else you download your favorite podcast. This weekend's Benny J bonus interviews. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I'm proud of all my bonus interviews, but this weekend, folks, this is only on the Ben Jarofsky Show. We have two Davids and a Rosanna. David Ferris, outstanding job. Just interviewed him today talking about the California recall election, the madness of Republicans. And then he explains the showdown between France and the United States. Only David Ferris can explain that. Really good stuff with David Ferris. David Gloatz will be doing a city council synopsis.
Nice.
And we're going to drop that as a bonus. Usually he's on like on a Tuesday or Thursday, but it didn't work out with the schedule. So we're doing that as a bonus.
So he's throwing clips to Nate.
DJ Nate will be getting the clips. And yes.
Can we hear what that may sound like when they listen to that?
Oh, Nate. Will he call him DJ Nate or Nate? DJ Nate. Play the Raylo clip. And then DJ Nate's kind of quiet. He's not like you. He's kind of a quiet guy. I'm trying to talk a little more, DJ. I spin the music. So DJ Nate will push the button and he'll play it. So yeah, Glow. We haven't done that one yet, so I'm sure it'll be great, but we haven't done that yet. And Rosanna Rodriguez Sanchez, Alderwoman of the 33rd Ward, will be talking about the trials and tribulations of being a Democratic Socialist. I love my Democratic Socialist Alderman at Chicago City Council. They take strong, bold stands. They're not afraid to stick their necks out. And so Rosanna Rodriguez Sanchez. So Dee, what a lineup of great lefties and journalists and good Chicago political talk and national political talk. Very proud of our bonus. I just took that opportunity to mention that.
Hey, it works.
So back to J.B. Pritzker. Something else I did. Yes, I'm with you 100%, JB, on your initiatives to spend government money on people who really need the money, as opposed to government subsidies on rich people who don't need the money. And then I'll refer everybody back to the Michael Girardi song Shadow Budget, which, of course, is about the TIF program. That's the shadow budget where they divert millions and millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars every year. And then they farm it out to rich, powerful people who don't need it. And then they pretend it's all for your good economic development, people. I had this comment to David Ferris. D, I'm a little ashamed of it. I have a confession to make. I kind of put down my fellow Chicagoans. Oh, my God. Don't tell any old mullet. Don't tell Micah I did it. I basically said the voters of Chicago are really dumb.
Oh, well, that's new. That's new. You never do that.
Insults his listeners. Rush Limbaugh right now is somewhere is going, you don't do that.
Oh, Ben, don't do that.
Rush Limbaugh. That's who I get my advice from. So anyway, JB Pritzker, I applaud you for that. The other thing I did a lot of yesterday, confession time, was listen to endless amounts of Norm McDonald clips.
It's funny, like everybody turned into me this week. I've listened to all those Norm McDonald YouTube videos.
So I have to share this Dennis story. He'll appreciate this. This goes back to our days at the radio station whose name I can't remember, and they fired me.
It was WCBT 820, where facts matter. And as a matter of fact, they did fire you.
Something I have in common with Norm McDonald, by the way. I really bonded with Norm McDonald because he got fired from the news update at Saturday Night Live because he just didn't tell her. You know, the boss said, oh, could you not say, could you go a little easier on Rom? Oh, wait, that's what they told me. they told him the equivalent. Only him was go a little easier on OJ. He got fired from Saturday Night Live, ladies and gentlemen, from the news update. Just follow me on this because he was too critical of OJ. Just pause and think about that. So I can't really complain about getting fired from WCPT for being too critical of Rom. You know what I'm saying, D? I mean, anyway. So, but way back when I first started, after every show, I would go, we were in different studios. So Dennis had the big boy studio where the manly men worked the control board. I'm a manly man. I push these buttons and do all these things. And I had like this little studio where just shut up and talk. Okay. Which makes no sense, by the way, shut up and talk. Anyway, so when I was done with my show, just think about that for a moment. But essentially that's kind of what they're saying, D. Just shut up and talk. In other words, don't talk about anything meaningful.
Well, I heard anyway, that's the new slogan of the station, WCBT 820. Shut up and talk.
WCPT, where facts matter. Shut up and talk. Anyway, so after the show, after we're done, I would leave my little shut up and talk studio and walk down the hallway to the big manly studio where Dennis would be doing all kinds of things with buttons. And so do you remember these days, D?
Yeah.
I would sit down and enjoy a delicious avocado and cheese sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
Good. And we'd be chit-chatting, you know, while he was moving buttons and pushing levers. And those are the sounds that the machine made.
That is.
And then he would start telling me about Norm McDonald. This is 2017, ladies and gentlemen. You never heard of Norm. Well, I kind of heard it. You never heard of Norm McDonald? And then sometimes he would put Norm McDonald on the YouTube clips. That's the first time you started playing me those Norm. Mm-hmm. This young man was utterly freaking obsessed with Norman McDonald long before anybody was into him. And so then I got into him and I sort of heard him all through Dennis. But, you know, then it kind of like got a little iffy with Norm McDonald because he kind of said a few things that were politically incorrect and people got mad at him. So, you know, maybe I didn't admit it that I was at Norm McDonald. Bad Norm, sorry about that. But maybe I went a little underground. I watched his Netflix special at least three times, one about Hitler's dog or whatever. And then when he died a couple days ago, I was stunned that there was just such an outpouring of love and appreciation for the guy, particularly from other comics, D. And I think what it is that the other comics realize that he had the guts that maybe they don't have. He got fired for making jokes about OJ. Wow. By the way, this house is really shaking. I'm not kidding. They are dropping some kind of heavy machinery out in front of my house, just sharing it with you.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, so I did a lot of watching of Norm McDonald bits on YouTube. And I don't know if you noticed this, Dee, or maybe because you felt no compulsion to watch Norm MacDonald after his death because you've seen all these
I've been watching people talk of, like, Bob Saget did like a 30-minute video just about Norm MacDonald. I watched that and just other comedians talking about him.
Okay, well, I stayed away from those. Saga, 30 minutes on Instagram. Wow, that was intense. Anyway, it all comes together, Dee. This is the brilliance of the Ben Jarofsky Show. It all comes together. So many of the Norm MacDonald bits on YouTube are preceded by 14-second ads for J.B. Pritzker. Did you know that?
Oh, my God.
Were you aware
of that? Holy cow. No, I didn't.
I mean, it's all of a sudden, hi, I'm J.B. Pritzker.
Hi.
What do you think of that image? Yeah, I got to work on my J.B. And I've seen the same ad like a million times. I can't remember what it is. And so you know how usually there's that little button where it says skip the ad? You know, before a YouTube bit, if there's an ad, after 5 seconds, you could skip the ad. And I'm looking for the skip the ad button. And guess what? There is none. So... JB, I don't know how you got that deal. Anyway, shout out to Norm MacDonald and shout out to Dennis. He was way ahead of the curve on that one. You know, he let the chips fall where they may with his comedy and he didn't cry about it. So he got fired for making OJ. Wow. That's could you go easy on OJ?
All right, now back to J.B. Pritzker. Okay, here we go. And who says the governor can't deliver a good pun? He also announced that new aviation maintenance school will be opening in Chicago.
When it comes to the future of aviation in Illinois, the sky's the limit.
Oh, see what
and
he did
I, for one, am excited to watch the AIM campus take the talent, diversity, and strength of our workforce to new heights.
Do you think he knew what he was doing?
Hey, hold on.
For aviation maintenance technicians is tremendous. There is a shortage of talent already today in the industry, and that is projected to grow. It is estimated that our industry will need over 130,000 new maintenance technicians in North America and over 600,000 new maintenance technicians globally over the next several years.
How dare you interrupt AAR CEO John Holmes, Ben.
Oh, so John Holmes?
Okay, not the porn star.
Okay, I was like, what? Guy gets around. I think that John Holmes died, by the way, that one I'm thinking of. The porn star? I think he may have passed. Good. I saw that article. Wait, do you think JB was intentionally...
Oh, of course. They wrote that. Those people wrote that.
But JB didn't write it. Some speechwriter. Some sometimes headline writer freelancing for JB. Anyway, yes, good. I'm glad they're spending money on that. That was a TIF subsidy. I could applaud that. I used to sit there, Dee, years ago at the Community Development Commission meetings and with some couple other TIF geeks. And this is the Community Development Commission is an entity appointed by the mayor of the city of Chicago, and their job is to literally rubber stamp TIF deals. I mean, I don't believe they've ever turned a TIF deal down or ever rejected one. It's advisory, so they can't actually kill it. But their recommendation, if they reject it, then it takes more votes in the council to approve it. Anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter because they're a rubber stamp. They're all appointed by the mayor. They applaud. They approve the TIF deal. So Michael Girardi, if you get a song out of this, you're a genius. I used to sit there with a couple TIF geeks. We sit through these really boring meetings where all this TIF propaganda would be sent out into the world, emitted into the world by the various payrollers at the planning department telling us how great and wonderful this handout to some corporation was. And the TIF geeks and I would then have our own mini debate. We would listen to the arguments that the propagandists would make for the TIF deal, and then we would decide if we were on the Community Development Commission, and an unlikely event is that like that would be because we're not rubber stampers, would we vote for this TIF deal? And Dee, here's the thing. I was easier than the other guys. The other TIF geeks were tougher than me. Jeremy, I'm talking to you out there. I don't think you ever approved of that. This is ridiculous. We don't need this. So would I have voted for a TIF deal that gives money to build a training facility for the aviation industry? Yeah, I would do it. Yes, I would, D. I would vote for that. Could have the benefit of helping people who actually need help. Whoa, there's a radical concept in the city of Chicago. We're going to help people who really need help.
That's crazy.
So anyway, yeah, that's how I used to spend my time. So I would have voted for this one, I think. Yes, I would have.
On Wednesday, he signed the Clean Energy Bill into law.
In short, with economic growth and jobs woven into its fabric, this new law is the most significant step Illinois has taken in a generation toward a reliable, renewable, affordable, and clean energy future in a generation.
What do we have here, Senator Mike Hastings?
We have increased high heat days.
Oh.
We have increased global carbon emissions. We have increased extreme weather events. Our world is changing, and inaction would be an injustice for all of us. That's why I'm very proud of this piece of legislation.
Well, you know, would I have voted for this? Yes, I would have. But there's parts of this bill, folks, we talked about this last week, D. Just kind of like a little handoff to ComEd. You know what I'm saying? A little subsidy, a little kicking something over to ComEd. Why are we prosecuting Michael Madigan again? I just throw that out there. ComEd got what they wanted without Michael Madigan. But I probably would have voted for it, D. Anything that promotes anything remotely resembling attacking pollution, I probably would vote. We're going to have Jen Walling on next week to talk about it in greater detail. I'm not a big fan of nuclear reactors. Now, I know what you're going to say, Dennis. You're going to tell me a lot of people depend on nuclear reactors for their job, their livelihood. That's what you're going to tell me.
That was exactly it.
And then you're going to say you have a good friend named Homer who has a job in one of these nuclear reactors. And isn't that brilliant that they gave him a job in a nuclear reactor? But I get a little nervous with the nuclear reactors. I don't know if you guys saw this. There was an article in, where did I see it? I forget where I saw it. It may have been the New York Times. It may have been the time I got the Wall Street Journal. Remember the time?
You stole your neighbor's Wall Street Journal.
Let's just clean that up a little bit. It's not like I snuck out in the middle of the night and took it. The newspaper guy inadvertently delivered it to me. You'd make me look like a petty thief in the night, sneaking around.
Sorry. You had the chance to give your neighbor the Wall Street Journal, go to his house and give it to him, but you decided to go into your house and read it and not bring it up at all. But okay.
Well, my neighbor probably got my Sun Times, so I figured it was a swap. You know, they got to read the beloved bright one. I heard a lot of chuckling that day.
Yeah.
They were laughing at the punny headlines. Oh, my God. This is hilarious. Californian dreaming. There was an article about this plant in Greenland. I'm not making this up, D. That's going to suck carbon out of the air. That's how we're going to deal with climate change. Somebody's going to make money with a plant that just, since we can't do anything about putting the carbon in the air, you know, let's just get this machine. Hold on, I'm going to do a sound of the machine sucking. That's the sound.
That was good.
So, thank you. So I'm like, oh, where can I invest in that? Does Robinhood sell? Can you get that on Robinhood right now? Anyway, that's how we're going to deal with it. And watch, MAGA will turn against that company somehow or other. MAGA will find a reason to be against that company.
And in case if you were wondering if we could stop wearing these stupid masks.
Face coverings.
Face coverings. Sorry, Kevin. The answer in the state of Illinois is obviously no. J.B. Pritzker says it's still important to mask up in Illinois.
They're not standing up for the health and safety of the people in their communities. As you've seen throughout this pandemic, there have been local officials who've been unwilling to stand up for the people of their communities on a mask mandate. It's perhaps now more important than ever as we have our children back in schools.
Yeah, but how are the numbers looking?
They've subsided a little, not the case numbers necessarily, but the hospitalizations. And so I'm pleased about that. But until they start to come down the other side of this, we can't lighten up on our mitigations.
In related news, looks like there's a new anti-mask group in Illinois. Protesters opposed to the state's mask mandates in Glen Ellyn have been confronting parents and children each day as they walk into the District 41 Elementary School. And if you followed this show for a while, this next piece of news should really come as no surprise. The one leading this anti-mask group, it's me, Dennis. I'm just kidding. Obviously kidding. It's actually former Republican representative and gubernatorial candidate, the one, the only, Jeannie Ives.
Wow. I'd not seen this news clip. You scooped me on this one, D. I had not seen this one. That is so twisted. They're confronting parents. We took the deep dive with David Ferris on this, so probably going to repeat some of the things that he said. I'm just going to steal his great ideas and pretend I came up with them. But I can't believe put aside the health issue here, I can't believe that Republicans think this is a winning strategy heading into the next election, particularly in the state of Illinois. Like confronting people who want to wear a mask or keeping school boards, local school boards that want to impose mask mandates, keeping them from imposing them, making a mandate against a mandate. I'm not. How is that a winning strategy?
Yeah, if I don't think in local control? Picking on people has never been a good strategy to get people to vote for you.
Yeah, no, that's a so Norm MacDonald. I don't know. Picking on people. By the way, Norm MacDonald about Bill Cosby is hilarious. Just someday, folks, just Google Norm Cosby. Norm Cosby. Norm MacDonald on Bill Cosby. You love Bill Cosby, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think the hypocrisy is the worst part of it. Anyway, I just don't understand why they think well, it's not good health policy, that's for certain. It can't be good politics, that's for certain. You just look like a bunch of bullies, which is kind of what the Republican Party is, even though they say they're standing up for liberty. And Jeannie Ives, why am I not surprised that Jeannie Ives, though, I guess we got to give her a bit of a shout out, Dee, because she probably did as much as anyone to undercut Bruce Rauner in his reelection campaign. So,
yeah, well, it wasn't that guy with over $1 billion that it was all her. Thanks, Jeannie Ives.
Well, she helped. I said helped. I didn't. Yeah. Remember the great debate at the Tribune where she kept.
Oh, yeah. This little shithead. Like, oh, wow. Jeannie's tearing into him.
That's Tribune's getting a little more like liberal in their edit. I, of course, was the only one who read their editorials before when they were lunatic. They were MAGA before MAGA. I may be the only one reading them now. So I'm probably the only one who detected this slight shift to the left. And heavy emphasis on the word slight. But, the Tribune loved it when Jeannie Ives went at Bruce Rauner. Yeah. The issue was abortion rights then. That was before the pandemic, ladies and gentlemen. Jeannie Ives thought that Bruce Rauner was too liberal on abortion rights. She wanted to outlaw abortion in the state of Illinois. Yeah, that's going to really get you. By the way, Terry Cosgrove will be showing up next week.
Oh, TC, Terry Cosgrove.
Yes, I believe Tuesday. Don't quote me.
Okay, I will not quote you.
Yeah, I haven't memorized the schedule, but I cut a deal with him, and he's coming on. He's already told me what he's going to talk about, and he's already bossing me around.
In other news, the Pritzker Please Reelect Me campaign has mandated COVID-19 vaccinations for workers on his reelection bid. The move is aimed at drawing attention to the differences between his handling of the pandemic and, well, his Republican challengers who oppose coronavirus mitigation mandates. And Thursday marked the fourth straight day with ICU beds filled to capacity in the state's least vaccinated region, Southern Illinois, which is home to more than 400,000 residents.
Including Dr. D. Well, was home to Dr. D. We got to bring Dr. Pamela back, our downstate physician for Medicare for All. Coolest doctor. Maybe the coolest doctor in the state of Illinois. Get her thoughts on mandates. Get her thoughts on the ICU beds that are filled up. I mean, Dee, we kind of predicted this was going to happen, didn't we? I don't want to be right about this. This is not a moment to gloat. David Ferris, again, stealing from him, had a whole riff about the political fallout between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, and how, in his humble opinion, it, at some point it could get really ugly, even uglier than it is, with the vaccinated really turning on the unvaccinated. I experienced a little bit of that, Dee, when I said some nice words about the bridge lady who died on Tuesday.
I
said the nice words on Tuesday.
They ripped into you, huh?
I got it from a few people who will remain nameless, giving me grief that I was sticking up for her. And she, of course, was a lefty who went right, ended up in QAnon country. She, politically speaking, lost her mind. She died of COVID-related. I think pneumonia eventually did her in, and she became a huge symbol of resistance on the part of a whole bunch of lunatics and assholes. I don't know what else to call him, part of the far right QAnon movement, including Michael Flynn, the former national security advisor to Trump. But I, you know, as I said, I have a soft spot in my heart for the bridge lady, because I remember when she was championing lefty issues. I remember when she championed me when I got fired from the station, and she was anti-TIFF, et cetera, and so forth. So, but I know there's a lot of anger that's growing, and vaccinated against unvaccinated. It's like a mini civil war.
Yeah.
And it's ugly, and it's hard for me. David Ferris is making projections and predictions about where it's going to go. Don't want to give too much away. Got to go listen to him say it, but very learned. I want to talk about the public opinion polls, D, that show that the unvaccinated begin coming angrier and angrier at the vaccinated. And of course the vaccinated becoming angrier and angrier at the unvaccinated. And the reverse has been true from the get go.
Today, Governor Pritzker actually visited my hometown of Alton, Illinois, to discuss new child care investments. Oh, and about those Pritzker suck signs in almost everyone's yard. Hey, JB, they're talking about some other guy named Pritzker, all right? Don't worry about it. You don't know him. It's has nothing to do with Pritzker. You. Completely another Pritzker.
Are they still there?
Oh, yeah, dude, they're still there. They're not as heavy, but you can still see them around.
Okay. I don't get that, by the way. I'm sorry, downstaters. I don't get it. I don't know why. That's just brainwash. I mean, see, that's where the bridge lady and I began to deviate. I mean, that was one of the remember, she, I don't know if you remember this, D. She would say, "Ben, I'm not voting for a billionaire."
Yeah.
I'm like, "What do you, if you like his policies, why don't you vote for him? He's a billionaire." That was, so there may be just such a prejudice. I don't know. I don't understand that. Pritzker suck. Of all the people in the state of Illinois, think about this, D, to say they suck and put a sign in your, I could come up with 10 politicians at least before I would put JB, but whatever. I don't live downstate, so I don't get it.
All right, more statewide news. Boy, we had a blast last week getting to know our newest Illinois Republican gubernatorial candidate. His nickname is Sully, Jesse Sullivan. We played an ad from the gubernatorial hopeful. He mentioned California a bunch. And, well, he had one hell of a suntan, which led us to wonder, hey, does this dude live in California? Well, I think we have an answer. It's time for a 2022 Illinois gubernatorial candidate update.
This is a 2022 Illinois gubernatorial candidate update.
Illinois is a state with a grand history of profound impact on our nation.
Not now, JP.
The cell phone. Sorry, JP. I'm not buying that cell phone thing. Just saying.
He loves Illinois. Sullivan's entry into the Republican race for governor last week, one day after reporting more than $10 million in campaign contributions from 7 California, Texas, and Colorado donors, drew immediate criticism from his GOP rivals as well. They dismissed him as an out-of-towner supported by big checkbooks of the Silicon Valley city elites. Well, turns out he does live in Illinois. The following comes from the Chicago Sun-Times and Rachel Hinton. Republican gubernatorial candidate Jesse Sullivan pushed back Monday at characterizations of him as a West Coast hippie. No, I put that in it. West Coast venture capitalist, insisting that both he and the business he founded are based in the small central Illinois town of Petersburg. While voting records do show Sullivan has lived and voted in downstate Menard County for at least the last 5 years, the main location of his business is murkier. Social media accounts and the company's own website list Alter Global as being headquartered in San Francisco or the Silicon Valley. But Sullivan and a spokesman for his campaign said that is primarily for marketing and branding purposes. You see, no one wants to buy a business in Illinois. They want to see that California thing. Marketing.
Unbelievable.
California, man. Illinois sucks. California's cool. Documents released by Sullivan's campaign on Monday included a birth certificate, showing he was born in a Springfield hospital in 1984, as well as proof of his home ownership and taxes paid on the Petersburg home from 2016 to 2020. A review of Sullivan's voting history shows he voted in the central Illinois town of about 2,200 in the last three November elections, 2020, 2018, and 2016. He also voted in last year's Republican primary, according to records from the Menard County Clerk and Recorder. Earlier, he also voted in the 2008, 2010, and 2012 general elections and the 2003 consolidated election in the downstate city.
To quote John McEnroe, what a joke. What a freaking joke. D, you hit it on the head. Dude, you're a venture capitalist. You create a company called Alter Global, which is going to freak MAGA out. Global being in the title. Okay. MAGA's not really into global things. And you created it in San Francisco. So there's no escaping any of that. Now, personally, I am not offended by any of those things. Well, maybe the venture capitalist firm. I'm not big on venture capitalism when they buy up companies, fire everybody, and you know, make more money for the people that own it. Everybody else gets screwed. And then they're against like public subsidies to help the unemployed after they created more unemployed. And then they get their friends to write columns like the ones I've been reading in the New York Times, which say it's not good for the psyche of Americans to give them a tax credit because they feel they haven't earned it. What rich guy has ever turned out a tax credit or a tax handout because he doesn't think he earns it? I've never seen it. I'm sorry on a tangent here, but that was one of the stupidest essays I've ever read. New York Times. New York Times. See, my 2 days with the Wall Street Journal. It was the second day, D, I didn't tell you about, but they inadvertently gave me the Wall Street Journal. I read their editorial page. Not one attempt to let the other side have its say. But the New York Times, well, let's hear from the other side. And so, you know, they'll put on some guy who's pro-choice. Like maybe he's, oh, I think I don't want to outlaw abortion, but let's kick everybody off. Let's kick, make them poor. Don't cut the subsidies to poor people because it just makes them dependent and then they don't feel good about themselves. Meanwhile, I'll take all my handouts and I'll feel great about myself. The stupid stuff they put out. Anyway, I went on a tangent. So, yes, I don't like the venture capitalist part about your company, but you clearly, obviously created that company in California. Whether you live there or not, I really don't care. I took a look at the website. It says San Francisco, California. I took a look at the other employees. My guess is none of them live in Illinois. Your own guy said it. Like, that was their justification. Oh, well, we wanted good branding and being in Illinois would make us look like a bunch of what? Dummies? like people, hey, didn't you know, Jesse Sullivan, that the first cell phone was developed in the state of Illinois? It's true. No, we want to look cutting edge and hip. So we're going to have a San Francisco-based company. So then you come in, you waltz in, and now you're mad because people say, well, wait, he's a San Francisco-based venture capitalist. No, I'm from the heartland. And I speak with a twang. Dude, I this is, you asked me what my latest column was about, D. This was my column.
Oh, nice.
Yes. The quote-unquote moderate wing of the Republican Party. Clearly, what this fellow Sullivan is trying to do, Sully, is trying to do is present himself as the moderate alternative to MAGA, which is a really tricky thing to do. Because in order to get the nomination and to employ that strategy statewide, you have to win over MAGA. So you have to win over MAGA by saying, guys, I'm going to pretend like I'm not part of you, but secretly I like you. So just vote for me. Even though you got DB, Darren Bailey. That's my Darren Bailey imitation, which is a terrible imitation.
I got to say, it's getting better.
He's got a higher voice than I always give him credit for. So I don't know why any MAGA person would vote for Jesse Sullivan if you got the real deal in the race. It's like voting for Bruce Rauner when you can vote for Jeannie Ives.
Yeah, on paper, I bet it seems a lot easier. Just don't beat Darren Bailey. You know what I mean? But yeah, when you like go to Alton and all these like, you know, more downstate areas, like, oh, wow, okay, this guy has more of a following than I thought.
Who, DB?
Yeah.
Yeah, DB's huge in MAGA. I've said it all along. I believe he's the front runner. He is out and out MAGA. He espouses all MAGA. If I'm a MAGA guy, I would vote for DB. Wouldn't vote for Jesse Sullivan, Sully. Right? Did DB take his farm and move it to Bakersfield, California? Hi, I'm Darren Bailey, and I have a farm in Bakersfield, but I'm really from Illinois. Jesse Sullivan, you must think the voters in Illinois are dumb. Well, you know, I got in trouble for saying the voters in Chicago are dumb, so you got to admit, Jesse, they're not that bright if they voted for Rahm twice. Not once, but twice.
Hey, friends, are you ready for government to dictate and control your lives again?
Darren.
You're one step closer. J.B. Pritzker, our tyrannical governor, just issued more mandates today. Friends, that's not right. That's not what government is about. Government is to inform and educate. We decide. God bless you.
Yeah, so Sullivan's like, how do I not sound like that guy?
That's DB. That's the real deal. DB, by the way, feel free to use that line, but got to give me credit for it. Could you imagine if suddenly we became a hit with MAGA D?
Can you imagine if Darren Bailey actually listened to this show?
Oh, you know, nobody talks more about DB than we do.
That's true.
I mean, up in Chicago, the media market, you talk to most Chicagoans who don't listen to the Ben Jarofsky show. They have no idea who DB is. I'm doing this because I talk to a lot of people. Don't listen to my show. Wait a minute. You're still doing a show? I thought they fired you. Well, they did fire me, but I still do a show. So, yeah, so DB, people don't really know about DB, but he's huge in MAGA land. And Jesse Sullivan, you're running in MAGA land. You're not running into Page County. And by the way, when Terry Cosgrove gets done with you on the abortion issue,
boy, watch out.
If you are the candidate, oh, my God, have you heard Jesse Sullivan on abortion?
No.
This is, okay, this is a very contested issue. People feel very passionately about it on both sides. I'm very pro-choice, so you know the side I'm on. Very passionate about it. Here's Jesse Sullivan. Well, I'm anti-abortion, and I'm kind of sympathetic to the Texas law, but don't worry, I don't have the votes in the House to do anything about it.
Yeah, you just lost.
Yeah, who is going to be inspired by that? If you're pro-choice, you're nervous. Because just because you say you don't have the votes doesn't mean you won't try to get the votes. And if you're Jeannie Ives, you're like, oh, no, that's not good enough. I want you championing the anti-abortion Texas laws. I don't know, man. The moderates, and this is quote unquote moderate. It's whatever. This is the moderate. It's more like wimpy. You know, and he's driving that truck in the commercial to make him look really manly and everything. You know, it's that D. Everybody always like when you want to look really tough. This goes back to that. Was it Chevy trucks with Bob Seger? Like a truck.
No, it's like a rock. Song. Like a rock.
Edit that out, D.
Like a truck.
Norm MacDonald was, hey, I thought it was a truck. And yeah, ever since then. Every Republican, they wear a little hat, John Deere hat, I'm driving a truck. Nobody ever rides a bicycle in a Republican commercial. Ever knows that?
No, I don't think anyone rides a bicycle in a liberal commercial either.
Nobody, I know.
And hey, guys, I'm 13 years old. Vote for me.
My bike has a bell on it. Listen, ring, bing, bing, ring.
You know, I really like that guy in the bike helmet. I'm going to vote for him.
Oh, my God. Remember when Barack Obama was pictured with a bike helmet on?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Foxy. That's just so unmanly. So, yeah. You know what? Just think about it. Like when they do the commercials and they're driving their trucks, what are they saying about you, the voting public? Think about that, people. What are they saying about you? You only like why are you driving a truck? You're not a farmer. You run a... You're a venture capitalist with a company in San Francisco. What do you need to drive a pickup truck for? Right? Am I right, Dave? Yeah. You should be riding a bike. Do you think anybody at the San Francisco office of Alter Global. You hear that, MAGA? Global. Do you think anybody is driving a pickup truck? They're riding bicycles, D. Bicycles. Be scared. Be very scared.
Ding, ding.
By the way, Mr. Bike will be a guest on the Ben Jarofsky Show, I may have said already.
Oh, you mean just Mr. City Council?
Yes, Mr. City Council. Before that, he's Mr. Bike. Anyway, so yes, so interesting a campaign for Jesse Sullivan trying to position himself for the general election to come, kind of overlooking the fact that he has to win over MAGA to get to that part of the election cycle. Going to be a really difficult thing for him to do. But you know what? To quote Dennis, money talks.
He's got
$11 million, which is more than DB has. So,
oh, yeah.
Who knows? Who knows?
And of course, before we move on to the news in the city of Chicago.
From the Illinois State Water Survey at the University of Illinois Prairie Research Institute, this is Illinois State climatologist Trent Ford. The calendar may show climatological fall, but summer weather has stuck around. Temperatures this past week range from the low 70s in northern Illinois to the high 70s in southern Illinois, between 2 and 8 degrees above normal for this time of the year. September to date has been between 1 and 4 degrees warmer than average so far. Thankfully, the humidity has dropped since the end of August, so despite the higher temperatures, the days and nights have been much more comfortable. This past week was also quite dry across much of the state. 7-day precipitation totals range from just under an inch in southwest Illinois to less than a tenth of an inch across most of western and central Illinois. A large part of the state, from the Mississippi River along the Iowa border all the way to the Illinois River in central Illinois, has seen less than half an inch.
Uncle, my God. Chicago news. Let's talk about it. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot.
Thank God. Science is back, baby.
Yeah, whatever. And while science may be back, it looks as though really bad ideas from our Chicago mayor haven't gone anywhere. Take this one for example. Wow. Take this idea for example. Mayor Lori Lightfoot introduces ordinance to allow Chicago to sue gang leaders in civil court. This comes from NBC5 Chicago. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot on Tuesday introduced a new ordinance that would allow the city to file lawsuits and go after gang members and leaders' assets. The ordinance, which the Chicago Tribune reports, could allow fines as high as $10,000 for each offense and gives courts the ability to seize any property that is directly or indirectly used or intended for use in any manner to facilitate street gang-related activity was introduced during a city council meeting. The measure was expected to move to the council's Public Safety Committee, but instead, thanks to a procedural move by Alderwoman Rosana Rodriguez-Sanchez, it will instead head to the Rule Committee, which could delay its potential approval. The measure had sparked concern from some activist groups who say it could unfairly target community members mislabeled as having gang affiliations. Prosecutors in suburban counties have for years been doing something similar by employing the Illinois Street Gang Prevention Act to sue gang members for monetary damages. I have some audio from the mayor, but we'll wait to play that. Ben, your thoughts on this?
No, my thoughts. Listen, we have no clue. It is clear. And we've never had a clue how to deal with crime in the city of Chicago. And I always say this on this show. I moved here in 1981, and crime's been an issue every year I've lived here. Through mayors Washington, Sawyer, Daley, Rahm, Lori Lightfoot. And the same story repeating and recycling itself year after year. And it's very depressing when you think about it. That's why I try not to think about it. But I have it easier than my dear friend Mark Sims. Let's come on this show and talk about how in a high crime area, people have different attitudes about it because they're facing literally the gun. Mark makes fun of me for when I go on my walks at night because he says he can't do it in his neighborhood. Oh, I just think he's lazy. Anyway, sorry, Mark, I didn't mean to say that. So they don't, I think that Lori Lightfoot has no idea how to deal with crime in Chicago. And clearly Rahm never thought about it when he was mayor. So, you know, this notion that somehow or other, if you take a gangbanger to court to seize his assets, it's going to stop shooting. First of all, half the time they tell you it's like every other thing, a mixed message, D. So when there's shootings, heavy shootings, and The murder rate goes up. The number of people go up. You'll get I read articles in the Sun-Times and the Tribune where learned criminologists, cops. We talk about how in the old days there was more control over the gangs because they were centralized and there was like a handful of gangs. And now what's happened is that they're decentralized, the gangs. And so there's like mini gangs and there's no commanding boss that keeps them in line. I mean, I read this stuff, D. These are the experts. So, okay, so who are you going to sue then? So you, for one hand, you're saying the problem is there's no centralized gang authority, which would suggest that a powerful, rich person is the cause of the shootings. And now you're saying, well, we're going to sue the central authorities that you just said don't exist. So we're all over the map. And Sherrone Mitchell, who the public defender for Cook County, was a guest on this show not too long ago, put it best in one of the papers. He said, you're going to end up stealing. You're going to end up forcing some what grandmother to give up her. What's the car he said? Camry, I want to say. And that's true. It's just going to be another tax on poor people. That's we love taxing poor people. And then like the same people who support Lori Lightfoot will write editorials in the New York Times saying, it's not good for poor people to get a tax credit because they don't feel good about themselves. They don't feel they've earned it. God, how could you guys write this stuff? I've never seen a run back on this one. I've never seen a rich guy turn down a handout. Do you realize, rich guy who wrote that dumbass thing for the New York Times, that in the 1980s, Spy Magazine played a trick on Donald Trump? Did you know this story? I may have said this to you. Spy Magazine, which doesn't exist anymore. I'm showing how old I am by even remembering it. It had this deal where they would send out checks to prominent people, rich people in particular, for one penny, 1 cent. And the thing was, would they cash them? And they would then make up like Billy Bob Plumbing Services said, we realize you overpaid by 1 cent. Here's your check. We apologize. So they would see who would cash them. Trump cashed his check. Proving my point. They'll take anything coming their way. So here we are in the city of Chicago, supposedly an enlightened progressive city that's thinking about helping the people in the greatest need. I know what we'll do. We'll sue more poor people. That ought to clean up. There you go. We'll go sue some poor people. That'll shut them down. There you go. That'll bring the murder rate down. I've seen every dumb idea in the city of Chicago tried when it comes to policing. People keep shooting each other. I don't know. You may want to try something like helping people. Just throwing that out there as a suggestion. Maybe jobs for people. Silly me.
Yeah, that's stupid. That's really stupid. Yeah, you're going to see like 15-year-old kids or like just the wrong people like getting accused. And yeah, like you said, poor people. Yeah, good call. Yeah.
It'll be the mother or the father or whatever of some kid. We'll be facing another fine. Let's sue more poor people. There's a good idea. Suing poor people. I don't know, Lori Lightfoot, where you came up with that one, but why don't you just let it quietly die? And by the way, shout out to Rosanna Rodriguez. She'll be our guest later today. Dropped that one over the weekend for kicking it to the Rules Committee. A lot of guts there because, you know, the law and order types in the 33rd Ward are going to be coming after her. Her re-election battle will not be easy one day. And they're going to be trying to milk that one. She's weak on crime. And all these North Siders. I believe Lori. They love Lori Lightfoot in the North Side.
What we are proposing is a tool in civil courts that gives us the opportunity to go after those gangs that are wreaking havoc. And in particular, take away the profit motive from them by seizing assets that they have been able to purchase because of their violent activity in our neighborhoods.
What was that?
Yeah, it's from Fox 32. I just put it off YouTube.
Sorry, Flannery. Flannery be like, I bet it makes sense to me. Willie Wilson. Sorry, my Flannery imitation. Yeah, no, I don't know. Lori, let's just quietly let that one Look, if you got the goods on some big shot gangster, if you got the goods, you could sue him already. You don't need a special law. If you got the goods on somebody, if you think somebody's illicit gains enable them to build an empire, you can already go after them. My God, isn't that why Al Capone went to prison in the first place? Showing my age here, D. They got him. They got Al Capone on taxes. Did you know that, ladies and gentlemen? Yeah, they got him for not paying his taxes. So I don't know. I thought the law already existed. No, let's create a new law that enables us to make life miserable for people whose lives are already pretty miserable.
Boy, I tell you, these gang members just aren't showing up for court. What's going on? Like, yeah, they like don't care about the law.
That's true. Oh, my God. Where's Norm MacDonald when we need gangbangers? It's a good point.
All right.
Oh, my Lord. What a city. What a city.
All right. And more news from this week's city council meeting, which means it's time for another episode of everyone's favorite Chicago political soap opera. It's episode 746 of A Mayor and Her Alderman.
A Mayor and Her Alderman.
Thank God. Science is back, baby.
My apologies. It's actually episode 745. So sorry.
Get it right.
We have two topics to touch on from this week's city council. First up, Alderman Jim Gardner. I hope you enjoyed your summer because it looks like you are headed for quite the fall. Am I right, Ben?
Yeah.
The following comes from the Chicago Sun-Times and who else? Fran the Woe Man Spielman. Embattled 45th Ward Alderman Jim Gardner, who, by the way, kind of looks like a bald T-2000 from Terminator 2.
Just saying.
Kind of reminds me of him. He rose on the city council floor Tuesday to issue a rare public apology for the embarrassment caused by his profane, threatening, and misogynistic text messages. Remember, in one text exchange, Gardner referred to Alderman Scott Wagaspak's 32nd chief of staff, who was female, as his bitch. And in another text, Gardner calls Alderman Tom Tunney, 44th Ward, the city's first openly gay alderman, by the way, he called him a bitch and adds, fuck him. By the way, yes, although the victim in this situation, Alderman Tom Tunney, opened up his cinnamon roll restaurant to the public during the pandemic while telling other restaurant owners in his ward that they couldn't open up their restaurant. All right, now on to the apology from Jim Gardner. Gardner said, I stand before this body to offer my sincerest apology for the pain an insult that anyone has endured as a result. I take full responsibility for my offensive words in those messages. Unfortunately, those comments do not reflect my values or the efforts of our team who work to make our ward a better place. And for that, I'm deeply sorry. I want to make it clear that I have never acted on those rants. However, they should not have been expressed. It certainly was not my intention to demean anyone. Ben, your thoughts?
Yeah. We've had this conversation about Jim Gardner, Royal Alderman of the 45th Ward. We had Ann Emerson on. She is the Finance Committee staffer, Scott Wagaspak's aide, who Gardner insulted. She was a guest on the show. He also insulted Joanna Klonsky. He's been a guest on the show many times. Good friend of the show, Joanna Klonsky. The key is never acted on these rants. I think, I don't know if rants was the word, but never acted on. It was something he said. And so what they did, somebody got a hold of his texts that he was exchanging with an unnamed former aide. And it's been published on a website, local website. And Black Club has picked it up and run with it. I give Black Club credit for doing a good job of writing and reporting on this. So it looks as though he had fallen in the habit of texting his just like vilest, most like raw, crudest thoughts, you know, and like if the name of somebody would come up, he would just spew venom at him. And so his point is, like, well, I was just spewing venom. I didn't really like, so there was residents who said that he wouldn't deliver. He like said, oh, look, you know, F that bitch, you know, if they try to get a garbage can. And so he's now saying, well, I didn't really mean that I would seek vengeance. I was just spewing raw vengeance. I don't know. This dude is troubled, D. It's not the kind of attitude that you want to see displayed by anybody, but in particular an alderman who does have power over the lives of many people and is supposed to be, you know, an example, a public servant. So it's kind of frightening in many ways. And all of a sudden, I don't know, the FBI coming in on him, investigating him, and the Board of Ethics, I think, is investigating him as well, to stand up and read this. It's going to take a little more than that, in my humble opinion, to convince people, you know, that he's not a lunatic. And I'll just repeat this. I say this all the time. The predecessor to Gardner was a gentleman named John Arena.
Yeah.
And John got booted out of office because he was supposedly too nasty and mean to his constituents. Hey, 45th Warders, how's that done for you, huh?
Yeah, old Saint Arena.
Saint Arena. The Prince of Peace, as we like to call him. He had a temper. Come on, Johnny Arena. You knew you had a temper. What is it about the 45th Ward? Good God. There's something about the 45th Ward.
I mean, that is the ward technically that fired you. So, I mean, what is with the 45th Ward?
For the record, John Arena, the alderman of the 45th Ward at the time I was fired, had nothing to do with my firing. Nothing to do with it, okay? But, dude, man, 45th Ward, I don't know. Got to look in the mirror, 45th Ward. And you're the guy before Arena, Patrick LeVar. What a piece of work that guy was. Oh, Patrick LeVar was the big machine guy. It's like doling out TIF deals to anybody who wanted it. Well, any crony who wanted it. So I don't know. 45th Ward, weird ward, man. Just saying, guys. Just throwing that out there. People who've elected. I like Johnny Arena, though. I'm on the record. I like Johnny. I'll tell you a John Arena story. 45th Ward is on the far northwest side of Chicago. It just sort of symbolized white people. And it was the ward, I think it was in the 45th Ward, where Harold Washington, when he went to church on a Sunday, was booed. The parishioners booed Harold Washington. Oh, there you go. That's a lot of love in the hearts of the 45th Warders. So John Arena was elected alderman, and I want to say 2011. Don't quote me on that, D. I was at this, the Progressive Caucus had a budget hearing on the south side at South Shore High School. And this was an alternative budget to Mayor Rahm. And who walked into this meeting but John Arena? I almost fell out of my chair. Like the alderman of the 45th Ward would be on the south side of Chicago. It just was so inconceivable. So I always gave Arena credit for taking progressive stances in an area that had traditionally been very conservative. But I don't know. I don't know what Jim Gardner stands for politically. And but his behavior behind the scenes is just atrocious.
And finally, this week's city's aldermen were faced with a rather unfortunate dilemma. Whether to accept a nearly 5.5% pay raise for next year that will kick the highest paid among them to a salary topping $130,000. Yes, that will solve the apparent problem of being just a little too drunk with power. More money! You see, that's why they shake down Burger Kings and open their cinnamon roll shops during the pandemic and take advantage of tax loopholes. They need more money, guys. They're hurting, man. Each alderman had until September 15th to decline the raise, or else it takes effect automatically on January 1st. It's now September 17th, so let's see what the alderman chose. Five alderpersons are rejecting a 5.5% cost of living raise they have coming to them next year. But the majority of the members of the city council will see bumps in their salary in a few months. The five taking a pass on the raise are a mix of North, Northwest, and Southwest side city council members, all in their first or second term. Southwest side alderpersons Raymond Lopez of the 15th Ward. We got Silvana Tabarez. Ben, of what ward?
23rd.
Oh, that was a tricky one, and you got it. That was good. I was going to try and stump you there. That was good. Northwest side alderpersons Felix Cardona. Ben, of what ward?
31st.
My God, you're a dork. And Gilbert Villegas, what ward?
Oh, no, I always get mixed up with that one. It's the 30 because they switched them around. God, because Nikki Sposato is the 38th, 36th.
Man, that's good. And Northside Alderman, Ben's Alderman, Matt Martin, they all turned in paperwork with the city to deny the pay raise, which will kick in January 1st. Lopez, Cardona, and Martin will continue to make $122,304 in 2022, while Villegas will make another will make $115,560, and Tabara's salary will remain at $123,504. I cannot relate. City budget officials did not immediately respond to questions about why the salaries differ. Martin, first elected to the North Side 47th Ward 2 years ago, said not taking the adjustment was, quote, a personal decision. With the pandemic presenting the sort of financial challenges that it has to so many folks within and outside of government, what is typically something that is a very minor issue, if not a non-issue, has additional significance. Matt Martin said, quote, when I look at my own situation and reflect on the many challenges that my ward and my city have faced, I feel that it's best, the best personal decision for me to forego this year's cost of living adjustment.
Big fan of Matt Martin. He is my alderman, and I didn't vote for him in the first round. Matt, you know what? I admit it to you all the time. I did not vote for you the first time around, but you won me over. And he always takes a principled stand. And this is not a really radical ward. This is a increasingly gentrifying upscale. Well, I got breweries all around me, D. And there used to be factories when I first moved here, and they were converted to breweries. And this is getting a wealthier, wealthier ward, as I could show you my property tax bill. So it's a wealthy ward that he represents, and he's usually standing up for progressive issues and standing up for poor people. So I'm a big fan of Matt Murphy, Matt Martin. And I don't know, D, you know, I guess I give them all credit, the five who turned down the raises. I'm probably going to write a column about this. I could see the columns. It's just... it's like the weird things that Chicago fixates on, you know? You know what I'm saying, D? Mm-hmm. It's like we're fixating about whether this one gets a $5,000 raise or that one gets a $10,000 raise or whether or not, you know. And meanwhile, then, oh, $1.2 billion for Lincoln Yards? Here you go. I'm not embarrassing anybody, but I'm pretty sure that Raylo voted for that Lincoln Yards deal. So I don't know, Raylo. Could have saved a lot of money. A lot of money. You want to help look out for the taxpayers by not voting for that TIF deal? Pretty sure Villegas voted for it as well. Not sure. I don't think the others were at all. I know Matt Martin wasn't in office when it went down because it was the last day of Rahm's reign. So I'm just saying we're just kind of a – this is what I say about Chicago. We get these symbolic fights. Will he take the $5,000 raise or will he not take it? Meanwhile, oh, $1.2 billion for some rich guy? Yeah, go ahead, take it. By the way, they're getting ready. There's a plan on the South Loop that would build a railroad depot that you never knew you knew as an excuse to have the infrastructure to build some hot skyscraper. That's going to get so much of a subsidy if it goes through. Nobody's talking about that. You know what I'm saying, D? It's, you guys are weird in Chicago, you know, like just there's a kind of connection. You guys really go for the symbolic stuff. Like, will your alderman take a $5,000 raise? That's really important. Or let's sue some gang member. You know, I don't know. I don't get it, D. But I do know this. This will be an issue in the next election as people run against the alderman who took the money. You watch, D. I wouldn't have taken. He raised your taxes to get a raise. By the way, I want to give a shout out to Byron Sixel Lopez. I got a press release from him. He claims in the press release, and I don't think he's lying. I think Byron's a truthful guy, that he took the raise and he gave it to his staffers. You see this, D? I just saw this before I came on the air.
No.
Yeah. He took the raise and he's giving raises to his staffers, which, you know what? That's a cool thing.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing that you did, Byron. You know, cause that staffers live in Chicago. They don't make a lot of money. They make like 50 grand. And I'm sure they work hard. They're the ones who answer all the phone calls. People call. There's a pothole in my street that must be fixed right away. Hurry up. And it's the staffer that answers that calls and delivers, you know, the message. So shout out to you, Byron Cicilla Lopez. Once again, my Democratic Socialist Alderman D leading the way. So good job, Byron Cicilla Lopez.
Now, have you seen what Rob Blagojevich said about this?
did not see that, but tell me what he said and I'll give you my thoughts on it.
All right. Our former Illinois governor took to Twitter about the recent Alderman Ray's news. Two tweets here. He says, Chicago, less and for police, more money for socialists. They defund the police, but increase funding for themselves. All five socialist members of the Chicago City Council are getting a 5.5% pay raise, and they all are taking it. Less money for the police, more money for socialist politicians. And then he puts in all caps, do they deserve a pay raise? Nearly 3,500 people shot, nearly 600 killed, a record number of children shot, and the Chicago City Council just gave themselves a 5.5% raise. And the five socialists, they are all taking it.
Yeah. Well, one of them, Governor Blagojevich, you may want to send a correction here, is not literally taking it. Byron Cicilla Lopez is giving it to his staff. I don't, can you imagine if Rob Blagojevich were to issue a correction, a clarification here? By the way, so let me just point something out. Rob Blagojevich, former governor of the state of Illinois, did a little, what was it, 8 years? And then was let go out of federal penitentiary thanks to Donald Trump, and then he's become Donald Trump's leading cheerleader in the state of Illinois. I would argue, I have argued, that if he were allowed to run for governor on the Republican primary, he would be victorious. I believe he would beat Darren Bailey, and he would definitely mop the floor with Jesse Sullivan. And he has moved far to the right, as you can see. But what he won't tell you is that he owes absolutely everything he ever gained in politics to a man named Richard Mell, who is the former alderman of the 33rd Ward, former committeeman of the 33rd Ward, who stepped down as alderman to turn things over to his daughter, Deb Mell, who is Rob Blagojevich's sister-in-law. Are you following me on this, people? All right. The 33rd Ward is now represented by Alderwoman Rosanna Rodriguez Sanchez, who will be a guest on my show in a little while. She defeated Deb Mell in a very close election, and that ousted the Mells from power in the 33rd Ward. Before then, Dick Mell was ousted by in the runoff for committeeman. D, do you remember who defeated AG for AG? Aaron
Goldstein.
Yes, AG.
The meanest three-point shooter in all of Albany Park.
Very good. Yes, played for Lane Tech. Coming off the bench, Aaron Goldstein for three. So anyway, so Dick Mell, so when Rod Blagojevich sends out this text blasting Democratic Socialists, he's gearing up for the Mell resurgence. They're going to run someone against Rosanna Rodriguez Sanchez. Wait, you think he just did this for the hell of it? Come on, Chicago, wake up, smell the coffee. So yeah, the Mel clan, maybe they'll run Blagojevich against Rosanna Rodriguez Sanchez. Maybe they'll run Blagojevich, but it'll be someone supported by the Mels and Rob Blagojevich running against Rosanna Rodriguez Sanchez. And that they're going to combine it to cuts in police, more police and less money for aldermen. That'll be their campaign. What a city. And Rob Blagojevich will be leading the charge. And people in the 33rd Ward, well, you know, Benny has a point. So I just wanted to do a little annotation of that Rob Blagojevich text. Or no, it was a tweet. Excuse me. It wasn't a text.
And my apologies for the delay. Aaron Goldstein for three. Oh! Ben Jarofsky gets the rock. Oh, my God, he misses.
AG for three. Good man, Aaron Goldstein.
And that is it. Oh, wait, hold on. Our dear, dear friend, Mike Girardi, whose music you can find at Mike Girardi, G-E-R-A-R-D-I, Bandcamp. Just look that up. You will find several songs themed after The Ben Jarofsky Show. He has a new song. We played it earlier. We played it in the beginning of the show, Michael. Maybe I'll play it when we go out here as well. But he asks, hey, please, he tuned in late and he said, please tell me I did not miss the Illinois crop report. Well, Michael Girardi, do not fear, my friend.
33% of acres were dropping leaves compared to 19 normally. Soybean conditions declined from last week and were rated 11% very poor to poor, 28 fair, and 61% good to excellent.
Wait, there's more.
For corn, 93% of acres have reached the dent stage or beyond. 51% of corn acres have reached maturity compared to 37 normally. Corn harvest is now 1% complete.
Maturity.
I know. This dude, man, he's got great enunciation. Dropping leaves. D, that's a downside. Well, help me out with dropping leaves. What does that mean?
I don't know what the hell that means. Dropping leaves?
Is it like trees? I don't know. What do I know? I'm not a... you know, farmer. But anyway, I really love that report. And yeah, thank you, Michael Girardi, for reminding us.
Yeah.
Heads would have rolled at the Ben Jarofsky show. And that is not...
No kidding. All of our crop heads would have been like, what the hell? I'm done listening to this show. But that is our program, guys. Remember, you can download previous Ben Jarofsky shows, Benny J bonus interviews, and so much more. Over 1 million downloads, by the way, guys. Go check it out. ChicagoReader.com/Jarofsky or wherever else you download your favorite podcast. You can always send us an email, BennyJShow@gmail.com. Tell us what's on your mind. You can reach us on social media at Benny J Show, BennyJ, the letter J show. For some reason, I forgot how to spell your name. BennyJ, the letter J show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can call this program. It's true. 708-658-4788. That number again, 708-658-4788. We'd love to hear from you.
All right, outstanding job. The man, the myth, the legend, the pride and joy of Alton, Illinois. And as David Ferris, David Glowatz, and Rosanna Rodriguez Sanchez, who will be our bonus guest this weekend. What a lineup we have, ladies and gentlemen. Back home in Alton, they call him Dr. D. Give yourself a raise. Yes, give yourself a raise. Take it out of petty cash. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Hey friends, are you ready for government to dictate and control your lives again? You're one step closer. J.B. Pritzker, our tyrannical governor.
Thank God. Thank God.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.